Hello, and welcome to Wolf Creek Community Church in Lacombe, Alberta. We exist to reach out and enfold people for Jesus, together becoming devoted disciples of Him. Let's join the pastor.
People loved by God, it's wonderful to be here. It's been a long time, like last November. Do you remember that? Yeah? I do, because I looked it up. It's good to be here, and I know it's a weekend, a long weekend, and some are away, and I know there's a YC in Red Deer, which has some people there, no doubt, and that's a wonderful time to be together. But we are pleased, Tina and I, to be here again, and as I look around, of course, I'm touched by the very fact that God continues to bless Wolf Creek Church. I see faces that I don't really know, and children, of course, that have been born now since we were here 10 years ago. So, and some of you other folks, you don't look a day older, but that's because my eyes are failing. But it is good to be here. It truly is. And meet new people also I haven't met before. And that's always a wonderful thing. That's the beautiful thing about a church. Because people gather, drawn by God, and we don't really know them, perhaps. But we're here because we want to hear God's grace being proclaimed, right? And the songs. And that gives us a unity right off the bat. And we can be kind of comfortable with each other and rejoice together, and especially today too, as we will be communing around the table of our Lord Jesus. So indeed, the Christian message, we'll have a short message here about this whole business of the cross. You notice the message of the cross: foolishness or salvation. Now the cross can be many things for many people. People have a cross, of a tattoo cross on their body. Or they have jewelry, a cross. Do they know what that means? Is it just a nice piece of art that they don't want on their kitchen wall, but they'll have it on their arm or their shoulder or whatever? Whichever, the fact is, the cross is critical in the history of God's plan of salvation. And it's critical for you and me as to whether it is foolishness or whether it is our salvation. And so the Christian message of salvation is the message of the cross. The good news of the Bible is that everyone who believes that Jesus Christ died and rose again may have eternal life. We read in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now the us here are those people whom we read about already earlier, confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, believing in their heart that God raised him from the dead. Those are the us who are being saved. And then the cross is the power of God. We celebrate God's salvation this morning. Soon we will eat and we will drink in remembrance of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for the forgiveness of sins for his people. But before we do this, we'll first read from God's word about Jesus, the Son of Man, lifted up, being the power of wisdom of God to those whom God has called. And we read two Bible passages, one from the Old Testament, a short few verses from the book of Numbers, and then also from John chapter 3. First then, the word of God from Numbers 21, verses 4 to 9. This, of course, Israel's journey in the desert. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. Now we turn to the New Testament, the book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 3. Now this is a very familiar passage. And I pray that the familiarity of it will not have us kind of say, well, I know that, I heard that before. That it may be fresh perhaps for some of you, maybe new for some of you. But for any one of us, by God's grace, we will hear again the teaching of Jesus for you and for me again this morning. So now we read John chapter 3, we'll read verses 1 through to 21. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. And here's that well-known verse, John 3:16. Say it with me, would you? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. The reading of God's word. So people loved by God in Christ Jesus. That's the simple, wonderful, amazing truth of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. All who believe in him will not die, but will live. Live forevermore. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Now, it was no accident that those poisonous snakes attacked the people of Israel in the desert, because we read in Numbers 21, verse 6, that God sent those snakes to the people. It was a deliberate act of punishment on God's part. God sent those snakes. It was God's punishment for their sins in cursing God's blessing of food that he provided them. Remember that manna that came? Oh, they were sick of it. Well, let's not be too judgmental. Maybe if you had sugarless cereal every day of your life, maybe we'd say, I'm getting a little tired of this. But they detested the food that God gave them. Many Israelites were bitten and they died. Well, this is a harsh reality, is it not? That sin brings death. We read in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But praise be to God, that's not the end of that verse. because perhaps you know it, but the next part of that. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. But that death that is the wages of sin is not just physical death, but also eternal death, separation of God forever, and this is hell. Now that's a word that's in everyday language, right? But stop and think for a moment. The scripture tells us what hell is. A place unsaved souls will suffer in indescribably agonies that'll never end. That's what the Bible tells us. But praise God for His amazing grace. His grace is enough, absolutely. That grace which is freely given to all who call on Him in repentance. Because look again at Numbers 21, verses 6 to 9. Numbers 21, verses 6 to 9. We read those, but let's look at it again. God sent those snakes among them. They were bitten, and many died. And then the people came to Moses, and they asked him, pray, pray. Now, keep in mind, folks, you should pray to God yourself. But in those days, there was a special, I guess, relationship that Moses was the God-given leader, and he interceded. In a sense, he was a Christ figure also, wasn't he? He interceded, and the people asked, pray. And so Moses did. And then the Lord said, make a snake and put it on a pole, and anyone who is bitten, looking at the pole, will live. Hallelujah. Praise be to God for His salvation. That bronze snake became the focus for healing and for life, not for death. Now we need to note that something else very important had to happen here. A person bitten by a snake had to look at that bronze snake. That bronze snake that was lifted up for all to see. A person, while still alive, before the poison could kill them, had to obey and listen to God's instruction. They had to submit to what God said to them. That's important. That's important for you and me to note, because anyone then who was bitten looks at the snake, and it was God's promise that that person would not die, but would live. And what God said is exactly what happened. Because the last part of verse 9 tells us that they live. They did not die. Now, here's a question to think about. Can you imagine anyone who was bitten not looking at that bronze snake? Do you think there'd be anyone who would say, well, that's absolutely ridiculous. How on earth can a bronze snake keep me from getting that poison through my body and killing me? Rather. And boys and girls, this is not a good word, but I would dare use it right now. That's rather stupid, isn't it? If you're offered healing, if you're offered to be alive and not die, by looking at that snake and then not doing it because you think it's ridiculous. It may be a very peculiar method of healing that God used, but that's not the point. What's to be emphasized here and what is to be recognized is that it is God's power and grace which gives healing, which gives life, because that's what God said. Look at that snake and you will live. Nothing else. And that's how it was for those people. Through the prophet Isaiah, God says in chapter 45, verse 22, turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. People loved by God in Christ Jesus, we in the 21st century are dealing with a whole lot of there is a better place hereafter and there are many ways to get to it. Do not be fooled for a moment. There is only one way. As God said many years ago, I am God and there is no other. And there's only one way to God the Father, Jesus said, and that is through me. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. But there's more to the truth of that bronze snake than the physical healing of the people dying from the venom of the snakes. That bronze snake points towards Jesus Christ. Foreshadows is a word that we can use. Or it typifies the Christ on the cross, through whom everyone who believes may have eternal life. Not death, but life. Jesus Christ was lifted up to give eternal life. We read about that in many places in the Scriptures. For example, two verses in John 3, verses 14 and 15. We read these words early. We read them earlier, but let's just look at them again. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. And sometime later, Jesus made reference to that again, as recorded in John chapter 12, where we read in verses 32 and 33, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Jesus said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. Well, the sad reality is that we are all dying. Dying because we have been bitten by Satan. We have a poison in us which the Bible calls sin. Now, I submit to you that the word sin is very unpopular. Oh, we make mistakes. Oh, it wasn't quite right, maybe, but. But the word sin and the acknowledgement of sin is critically important, as we read earlier, that if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just, and He will forgive us our sin. I read and heard just recently a reference made to the fact that we are redeemed by the grace of God. And so, let's not dwell too much on the word sin. But people, how do you know what you are redeemed from unless you know that you are sinful before God? That word, deed, and thought have not been in accordance with God's law. And of course we are joyful. We sing our songs of praise because we know that when we confess our sins, God is the faithful one. And so indeed, we are poisoned, and the Bible calls that sin. But that's not the end. Hallelujah. Because look at the bronze snake and live, God said through Moses to the people bitten by the snakes. Look and live, God said through Jesus to all of us bitten by that snake, figuratively speaking, that poison of sin. Look to Jesus who was lifted up to give eternal life. A beautiful hymn about Jesus, the man of sorrows, put it this way. Some of you may remember this from about 70 years ago. No, not that long ago. A beautiful hymn. Listen. He was lifted up to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high, hallelujah. What a Savior. We are between Easter and the ascension of our Lord. Easter not so long ago, right? Are you Easter people, by the way? Do you still say he is risen? Yeah, because that's our joy, right? And now we know that that time between the Easter resurrection and Christ's ascension is a time when Jesus was teaching his disciples, and we have it all recorded in the Scriptures. But indeed, Christ our Savior. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, we read what Jesus did. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We have a beautiful Savior because he took on our sin. He became that sin offering. Use the word, God, I have sinned before you, but thank you, Jesus, that you became my sin. And I am saved. I am redeemed. Hallelujah. Can there be anything more precious in our life? Anything more precious than to know that Jesus was lifted up on the cross, cursed by God for my sake. May you, by God's grace, be able to say that Jesus did that for me. And of course, we rejoice because he did it for your loved ones, or he did it for a friend. He did it for the world. If only the world would embrace him. And many do. Praise be to God. My sin Of course, you've got to forgive me, folks, but another old hymn comes to mind. I love the new praise songs, by the way. Thank you, praise team. So fitting how it all comes together, right? But listen to this one. My sin. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. You catching on? My sin, not in part, not just a little bit of my sin, but the whole, all of my sin is what? Nailed to the cross. Where's the cross? Right here. When they drove the nails in Christ's hands and feet. My sin. Nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. Oh. What a Savior. What a Savior. Listen, people loved by God in Christ Jesus. This is God's unbreakable promise. We heard it earlier this morning in Romans 10, verse 13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We asked the question earlier, can you imagine any one of the people of Israel who was bitten by a poisonous snake not looking at that bronze snake? How absolutely foolish not to do so. Likewise, the Bible says how foolish it is not to look to Jesus. To ignore or to reject the cross. Remember, the message of the cross is foolishness for those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, as we read earlier, it is the power of God. Now here's the question for each one of us. Friends in Christ, are you saved? It comes down to that. Do you know? Are you filled with the assurance, the confidence that Jesus Christ died for you? Have you been born again, like Jesus talked about with Nicodemus so long ago, and he couldn't understand it? Well, I don't understand it either. Christ, of course, was using that being born again in the Spirit, right? Out with the old, in with the new, so to speak. Born again. Do you know and do you acknowledge that you are poisoned and you will die a horrible death which will never stop unless you repent? For the Israelites, not looking at that snake meant death. For all, any and all human being, not looking at, not believing in Jesus, ignoring the message of the cross, means to be condemned, to be apart from God forever. And so indeed, look at this. You're still existing to reach out. Praise be to God. Reach out and enfold people for Jesus. Together becoming devoted disciples of Him. Keep that up. The cross of Jesus is central to anything that we should attempt to do. Know it for yourself. Share it with others. Humble yourself by God's grace. That grace which God would freely give. May you be given that grace, and may you be brought to humble yourself before God, to ask for the forgiveness of your sins, to believe in Jesus who was lifted up to give eternal life to all who would call on Him. And that's what we celebrate this morning. God's salvation seen in the bread and seen in the juice of the Lord's Supper. A sign and a seal of Christ's suffering being the sacrifice on the cross on which He sustained in body and soul the anger of God against the sin of the whole human race. We have a very succinct confessional statement that I invite you to recite together as we get it on the screen. It's from the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 15, question and answer 37, which talks about the suffering of Christ. What do you confess when you say that He, that is Christ, suffered? May God indeed bless you with His gift of faith. And in that faith that you may come to the Lord's table in gratitude, rejoicing in your salvation and rejoicing in that wonderful cross. We're going to sing that, praise team. So why don't you come up? And may I remind all of us that it is indeed that we are saved by grace through faith. Read your scriptures daily. Pray to God. Ask Him to bless you and your loved ones with faith. Faith to believe.
We just want to thank you for listening to today's sermon. If you enjoyed it and would like to become a part of our worship, please come and join us every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock here in Lacombe. And be blessed wherever you are.